Wer geht voran? Wer hat die Fähret?
The Lord is King. The Lord was King. The Lord will be King forever and ever. The ancient collection of Jewish conversations, the Mishnah, compares Rosh Hashanah to Psalm 33. Adonai, the great King, looks down from heaven and observes all humanity. From his dwelling place, he gazes on the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions the hearts of all and discerns all their deeds. Rosh Hashanah is a time for us to search for the kingdom of heaven. Tonight is a night to seek our coming King, and then when we find him, to place him on the throne of our hearts. This evening, let us look for keys to the kingdom of God in an unusual place, not among those seasoned with years, but within the hearts of children. As most of you know, we just had our eighth baby last month, and so I have been in baby land for the past month. So little things are on my heart. Little feet, little hands, a tiny nose, a tiny ear. I'm particularly grateful to all of you, to our Ruach Israel community, one might think that you would just say, been there, done that, enough, like that kind of thing, but it isn't that way. For with you guys, it's like it's our first, with the kind of support that we have and the love that we have from Ruach Israel and from all of you. And I just want to say I appreciate that so much. Really do. We really do. It means a lot to us. Actually, I don't only want to talk about children because we're in baby land. Every year, our board prays and discusses and comes up with a new strategic theme for the year that we launch on Rosh Hashanah. And so our strategic theme for this year is building with the next generation. And the word with is intentional. The idea is not to focus only on younger people. Instead, the goal is to build and strengthen our intergenerational community where we emphasize building together. And so we're going to be emphasizing all of the different generations and how we can interact together. And tomorrow I'll be speaking a bit more about that. Tonight, let us learn from the children about the kingdom of God. We're going to start with Yeshua's famous teaching in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Yeshua reveals the keys to heaven hidden inside of a little child. So starting in Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15, we'll take apart this passage and then see if we can put it back together. Little children are brought to Yeshua so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. Let's just stop here for a moment and try to imagine this. We don't know exactly where or what time of day this took place, but it evokes what we do to welcome Shabbat each week. Parents, we lay hands on our children and pray, just as Jacob blesses Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Yisemka Elohim ke'Ephraim v'ki Menasha. May God bless you like Ephraim and Manasseh. And to our daughters, Yisemka Elohim ke'Sarah Rivka, Rachel v'Leah. May God bless you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And then we say, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, lift up his face to you and give you peace. And I'm visualizing days after baby Havaleah was born, placing my hand on her tiny head for her first Shabbat and saying this blessing. Actually, in Luke's version of the story, he emphasizes that they were not just bringing children, but also infants to Yeshua, perhaps just like her. Everyone wanted their children to get closer to Yeshua so that he could lay hands on them and bless them. Ancient passages in the Talmud suggest that it was common for parents to bring their children to the synagogue to be blessed by the elders or the community leaders, just as we do here on Shabbat morning when the Torah is out. And I imagine that Yeshua might have said the same blessing over these children. Back to our passage. But the disciples rebuked those who brought the children to Yeshua. Okay, what are the disciples thinking? Let's think about this. Judaism has a high value for children. The Shema requires that we teach Torah to our children. The Passover Seder is created to tell our Jewish story to the next generation. So why would the disciples rebuke these families for coming to their Messiah for a blessing? I'm sure it was not an organized line of patient, perfectly behaved kids waiting to sit on Yeshua's lap like Santa in the department store. More likely, it was chaotic. Babies crying, kids running around. It was out of hand. Perhaps the disciples thought that Yeshua had more important things to do than to give these children attention. But Yeshua challenges them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And Mark adds in his telling that Yeshua actually gets angry with the disciples. So clearly the disciples had their priorities mixed up. For them, these little children were in the way, something that they might hinder the mission. For Yeshua, these children are the mission. And I think this raises interesting questions about how we view children in our world. Is welcoming children into our lives an interruption to the important things of life? Or are children the mission, even more our dreams? Here, Rabbinic Judaism has followed in Yeshua's teaching. A passage in Talmud muses that the world was created solely for the purpose of bringing children into the world. Another passage wonders whether the world continues to exist only because of the breath of school children learning Torah. And yet another says, "See how God loves the children. For Yeshua, the kingdom of heaven belongs to these little ones. So what could be of more value?" If we take Yeshua literally, then the kingdom of heaven is simply filled with children. What a joyful thought. In Luke's telling of the story, we read, Yeshua adds a verse that is even more provocative. He says, "Amen, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Now, those are strong words. So not only is the kingdom filled with children, Yeshua now teaches that all of us adults must somehow become like little children even to enter it. But what does that even mean? I mean, the kingdom of heaven is like a big bouncy house? We spend our entire lives trying to become adults. We hope to become mature, to become successful in life, to do important things in the world, and this is good. And then as soon as we feel like we're getting close, Yeshua doubles back and says, "Now find the secrets to the kingdom of heaven. You must become as one child once again." What is it about a child? Is there some superhero quality that makes a child more able to receive the kingdom of God? For C.S. Lewis, once a child gets too grown up, she can never enter the land of Narnia. E.B. White wonders the same thing in Charlotte's Web when Fern's mother is visiting Dr. Dorian because Fern is spending all too much time in the barn cellar talking with the animals. And the doctor replies, "I shouldn't wonder. Children do hear better than we do. Just because I've never heard them talk doesn't mean animals can't talk." Most commentators on this passage point to children's superhero qualities. We must become spontaneous, full of wonder, imaginative to enter the kingdom of heaven. But any parent knows that this is also a bit of an idealized view about kids. What about all the more difficult parts of childhood, which seem to pop up in their first year of life or two? While I do believe that children have superpowers that we can't even begin to imagine, the deeper that I dove into this passage and worked with it and wrestled with it, I realized that the qualities of a child aren't really the secret to the kingdom of heaven that Yeshua is getting at all. What Yeshua is getting at really isn't about children. Let's look at another place where Yeshua shares this same teaching with a bit more context in Matthew 18. The disciples come to Yeshua and ask, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Yeshua calls over a child, and he takes him up in his arms, and he answers, "Amen, I tell you, unless you turn and become like a child, you shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then shall humble himself like this child, this is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So here, becoming like a child isn't about being childlike at all. It's about becoming the least, humbling oneself, and making teshuvah. Teshuvah means to turn. Turn and become like a child. Turn around. We realize that we're walking away from God. Teshuvah is when we turn back to him. Teshuvah is repentance. Now, just before Yeshua blesses the children in Luke's account, he shares a story which also frames his teaching. Two men go up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee prays to himself, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieving and unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I tithe on all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven and beat his chest, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," just like we do on Yom Kippur. "I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went down to his home declared righteous. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." The next verse, now they're bringing even their babies, their infants, to Yeshua. Here, the tax collector receives the same reward as the child. It seems as if Yeshua is saying, you must become like a tax collector to enter the kingdom of heaven. But a tax collector is the opposite of the kingdom of heaven. His life is filled with sin. He has betrayed his people in order to make himself great in the eyes of his oppressors. What could be more different than a tax collector and a small, innocent child? Unless the tax collector humbles himself and makes teshuvah. Then he has become new, just like the child sitting in Yeshua's lap. This isn't about tithing. This isn't about fasting or being a Pharisee or being a mature adult. All of these are good, godly things. The problem is that this particular Pharisee has become so grown up that he's replaced the kingdom of heaven for the pride of his own position. David Stern notices in the parable that the Pharisee prays to himself. The Pharisee has lifted himself up and made himself great in the same way that the disciples argued about which one was better than the other. Now, we do this all the time in life, do we not? We compare ourselves to one another. We look down on those who bother us. We privilege ourselves above those who we feel are lesser in some way. Entire societies are built around class and social hierarchy. And all of this is turned upside down in the kingdom of heaven. What makes the tax collector like a child is that once the tax collector has seen his wayward ways and repented, his world collapses. He falls on his knees, the bottom of the rung, and he no longer has anything to hold on to but the kingdom of God. Though he was a tax collector, now he is just like a little child. And this is what it means to become a child in the kingdom of heaven, to drop all striving to become great in the world, to become least, to make teshuvah and turn and receive the kingdom of heaven and become new again. Soloveitchik, a Jewish scholar who wrote a commentary on Matthew and Mark, also connects Yeshua's passage on becoming a child to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel says, "Cast away all the transgressions by which you have offered, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, so that you may not die." And then he quotes Rabbi Yonah, who was a Hasidic commentator. "A man who transgressed and sinned goes down the paths of repentance, will cast away all the transgressions he has done, and he will make himself as he was on the day he was born, with neither vices nor virtues." Similarly, Yeshua says to Nicodemus, a leader of the Pharisees, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's the same teaching. We must make teshuvah and turn back to God. Whether you are a tax collector, a prodigal son, a lost sheep, will be born again once as an infant to see the kingdom of God because we have turned and now we belong to those who have turned and made teshuvah. The kingdom of God belongs to those who have turned and made teshuvah. Now, our Jewish tradition says that within every newborn child, there is a whole world. And I've been privileged to be present for all 8 births of my kids. And the birth process, I won't go into so much detail. It's an experience that is indescribable. Time seems to collapse into one extended moment where nothing in the world is more important than the birth of this one child. Every future moment of this child's life and destiny, her children, her grandchildren, and everything in between, a whole world feels tied into this one moment. And in the end, we have no choice but to simply trust Hashem. Mom, baby, midwives, others, me, everyone, we have no choice. We pray. And we all must simply let God carry her from the womb and into our arms. And the first newborn cry is beyond description, a true, pure joy. The whole world is now changed forever. I wonder if this is why Yeshua uses a newborn child to capture and conceptualize teshuvah. When we turn back to God and repent of our sins, something like birth happens. True repentance is a timeless moment where we must completely let go of control and allow an old part of ourselves to die. And then nothing matters but our forgiveness. Every future moment from here through eternity is contained in this moment and hinges on God's mercy. We must give up any last struggle because we simply cannot save ourselves. And then we must trust Yeshua for our souls. And when he carried us through, we are born into a whole new world around us. When I came to faith in Yeshua in the woods, in the mountains of New Hampshire in 2005, I felt as though I went through a new birth like this. As I sat on a log in the mountains overlooking a sunset, I finally let go of my inner struggle and reached out and took hold of Yeshua. And there was this timeless moment within me. And then it was as if everything was new. The world around me was new. My sense of who I was to become, my calling, my career, who I would marry, who my children would be, my thoughts, how I would spend my time, everything was new. And then I soon learned that being born again like this means that you need to be born again, again, and again as a regular part of this new life, lest we become old in our newness. Perhaps this is why Yeshua says we must turn and become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven again and again and again, so that life in him is always new. And this is what Rosh Hashanah and the days of awe and Yom Kippur are all about. A time to stop, a time to turn, a time to become new once again. Yeshua spoke another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. A man finds it, and because of his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. He who has ears, let him hear. When Chaim first met Aviva, my eldest Chaim, on the day of her birth, he was 2. And he hugged her and he gave her a kiss and it was cute. And then he said, okay, put it back. 2-year-old Elijah said something similar about baby Chava Leah. Is she going back into mommy's tummy now? A little more innocent. It makes sense in a 2-year-old's mind. Things come and go and they have a place where they need to be. The lesson for the 2-year-old is that once born, you must never go back. Once we taste Yeshua's love and we see the realities beyond the world we immediately see around us, we too must take our first breath and never look back. After Chava Leah was born, I said to Reina, "You were amazing. You did it." And she responded, "No, now it has just begun." Life must change forever after a new birth. And this is the parable of the treasure in the field. When you make teshuvah and you encounter God's love and mercy, hold on. Don't ever return. Now it has just begun. While I was working on this sermon in the morning, my 15-year-old son, Chaim, again, came downstairs, and he was holding baby Havaleah in his arms. And I was just looking at him, admiring with much joy how much he had care mixed with gentleness, and it was a good moment for me looking at him. And he comes over, and he asks me, "Do you think she's happy here?" So my head, being in this message, I assumed he was asking very big, deep questions, and I answered, "I don't think she needs to decide whether she's happy in this world. I think she just knows that she belongs to the kingdom of heaven." Chaim said, "I didn't mean anything about the kingdom of heaven. I just meant, like, is she happy in this position? Like, is she doing okay?" And we laughed for a long time. And then she produced some very loud gastrointestinal noises. And then we laughed some more and said, "Now she's happy." Another time I was thinking about this topic, and I asked Shoshana a few weeks ago, "What do you think Yeshua means when he says that the kingdom of God belongs to little children? What is it about children?" And she simply answered quickly, "Because Yeshua cares about them." How simple. And she was right. After we have repented, we are reborn. After we have repented, we have become children in the kingdom of heaven. And then we find another secret to the kingdom of God. Like I learned from Chava resting in Chaim's arms, and from Shoshana's simple thoughts, Yeshua loves us, and we already belong. We have, in fact, always belonged to the kingdom of heaven. To close, let us go back and imagine all those children running around Yeshua, shouting, playing games. And a young mother approaches Yeshua and gently hands her infant into his arms. He takes the child. He smiles and gazes into her eyes. And then he looks up at the people and says, "Here's the key to the kingdom. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You all must turn, make teshuvah, and then allow God to make you new, reborn, just as this little one. And then just as this little one is so precious and so valued, so too are you precious, treasured, and valued more than you can possibly know. Become like this child." L'shana tova. And thank you, everyone. And I'll invite Kyle and Rachel to come up. And let us close with a song, Hashem Melech, before the Eleinu. Why don't we stand and we can sing to our King. The Lord is King, the Lord was King, the Lord will be King forever and ever.
Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimlok, Leolam Vaed. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimlok, Leolam Vaed. The Lord is King, the Lord was King, the Lord will reign forevermore. The Lord is King, the Lord was King, the Lord.